It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And what is going on, everybody? What a wild ride. What a crazy world we are in. And, of course, it was nice to see Netanyahu get to keep control. And I think that will help maintain some stability. Of course, I'm sure our great leader, Dr. Obama, President Obama, is not thrilled about that, knowing that he wanted the other side to win. And, you know, it's amazing when you look at what is going on around the world and around the globe. And as we watch global markets soaring to new highs in the face of everything that you wouldn't think that we could possibly continue to see money flowing into markets with what's going on around the globe. And yet the DAX, the CAX, the JAX, there is no top. There is no way to stop this raging bull as they rage, around the globe. And of course we continue to see currencies push down to, levels not seen for a long time. And of course we just had the call from everybody saying that the euro is going to parity. And again, I do agree that the euro is going to parity. However, when I look, I say, okay, great, the euro is going to parity. But, you know, we talk about this a lot here. Everybody can't be right, okay? Again, in other words, trades get crowded. Trades get very, very crowded in the world, and not everybody can be on the right side. And when you get too many people on one side, you typically see a little bit of a move to the other side. And what we're looking here at is you see how markets themselves react. So, you know, at some point, you know, we see crude oil now once again under tremendous pressure. But interesting enough, in crude oil, we're now seeing the market itself, you know, just get pummeled. And we're seeing what we call the contango. You know, we've talked about this a couple times before, the contango and backwardation in the markets. The contango is getting very, very steep. And it's kind of strange. As we look here in the front, you know, oil is becoming, you know, cheap. And as we go back, it's getting wider and wider is the spread, which means as we go back into time, oil is spiking up much faster. And so although the picture looks bleak in here, and rightfully so, okay, let's take a look at why it looks bleak. Because markets look bleak because the economy sucks, okay? You can talk all you want about how the stock market is going up every day, and you can talk about all you want about how good the economy is, and I can certainly tell you that it's a bunch of crap. It's an economy that is busted. It is an economy that's getting ready to break down. But, you know, if you remember, money has still got to flow and money has got to go somewhere. So when you pick the lesser of evils, right now the lesser of that evil for people who need to get return. Now let's look at it the way the market actually functions. For people that have to get return, okay, they can't buy real estate here. Why? Because they may get return over time. But if your horizon, your time horizon is shorter, then you have to go to something that pays you faster in shorter time. I mean, I would almost guarantee if you bought a good piece of real estate, you would make money on it over time. But if you're 65 and you may need money in the next 4 years, it may not happen in the next 4 years. So you look at the picture. So if money is going, you know, there's a lot of psychological reasons, but as people, we always want that instant gratification and getting paid now. So you see money flowing into markets saying, oh, I got to get paid now. I got a chance to get, you know, I can get, you know, I can buy Netflix. It'll go up 20 bucks. I can make a lot of money. The point is that the model itself is flawed because of the direction you're being driven into. And in the direction you're being driven into is into equities. You're forced to chase yield. Okay. And I love when I hear, and this is, there's a lot of things that piss me off, but this is one of the things that really pisses me off, is I love, oh yeah, it pays a 6% dividend. Great. So the stock goes down 40% next year, but I get a 6% dividend. So how did I do? Okay, you didn't do very well. And these are things that become extremely important when you're building a portfolio. And this is where the common guy, common gal, the common investor slips up, okay? We get very short-sighted and have a great deal of trouble keeping our eye on the ball. And, you know, as an investor, your eye on the ball is to build wealth. You know, we talked about that yesterday with Mark Yusko about the endowment model. We've talked about it in the past with Jeff Sika. The endowment model. And, you know, obviously, if you're at the end of your investing career and you're starting to live off of your investments, you know, it's hard to make that change. But the sooner that you can put yourself in a position to build long-term wealth, generational wealth, family money, okay, listen, we all want to be rich today. We all want to have the big money today, but if you build wealth and you build money that can continue to grow and compound, you know, day after day, year after year, then you put yourself in a position creating wealth, not money. And, you know, they're both important. I mean, we need money to live, but isn't it nice to build wealth for you and generations to come? Now, again, we're not all going to get there, but it's important that you understand the concept of what endowment models do. And again, it's important that you put yourself in a position to always pay yourself first, okay? In other words, we all have a budget except for the federal government. They have no budget because they just print when they need it. But our job is to put yourself in a position to continue to put money away, spread it out between different items, and let it compound. Let it grow, let it build, and know that you don't have to need it or don't have to touch it. And that's something that, you know, it's always important and something that, you know, unfortunately, we are a, you know, pretty much of a by the month type of society that we don't know about saving. But saving is important. It is important for you. And we can all do, you know, with something less, you know. I mean, you can take something out of your budget, and that comes back down to budgeting yourself so that you can put some money away. And no matter where you are, you know, if you cut something out, I mean, even if it's 50 bucks a month, okay, it's something that can grow because it's sitting in your pocket, it grows lint. Sitting in somewhere else, it has a chance to grow to a bigger sum. And then that grows and you compound it in. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, you know, make sure you check out our friends at Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. And just a reminder, I am so excited. We're going to make the launch of our new newsletter. So we'll be putting up something on the site for you to go ahead and sign up for that. Make sure you keep your eyes peeled and ready to go because we are excited. It's going to be great, and we can't wait to share some great information with you. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Turn off the lights. We're going to lose our minds tonight. What's the dealio? I love when it's all too much. 5 a.m. Turn the radio up. Where's the rock and roll?
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. Are you tired of all the tout servers out there telling you how much they're going to make you in the options world of trading? Well, I think you need to look no further. I think it's time for you to check out the Sunday night call that I do every Sunday with the Badger at 7 p.m. Eastern time. We break down the markets. We talk about the trials and tribulations of how to trade the option market. And we share with you ideas on how to make your trading more successful. And now we have the special opportunity of offering auto trading through our friends at the CTG Group, Capital Trading Group with Kevin Reardon. So I'd love to see you check out the Sunday night call. Learn how to trade options. Learn how to make some money. Learn how to trade like a pro. And also have the ability to have it auto-traded for you. Because if you're at work and you don't have time, we can set it up and allow you to auto-trade as well. That's the Sunday night call with Bubba and the Badger. Check it out. Check it out for a free link, and I will let you try it out for 1 month on me. The Sunday night call with Bubba and Badger. For e-details, just email me at todd@averagejoeoptions.com, and we will get you set up and ready to rock and roll. Bubba Show listeners, the best trading platform that Bubba's ever found is Thinkorswim. And I'll tell you something. They have some unbelievable, exciting announcements that are going to be coming out in the very near future. And they are going to be highlighted here on The Bubba Show. Make sure, my faithful Bubba Show listeners, that you are listening in for those special announcements, because our man, John Hart, when they become official and ready to go, is going to come out on The Bubba Show and make those announcements for you. But in the meantime, make sure you check out Thinkorswim as they offer you, the trader, you, the investor, every opportunity to be successful by giving you the great proper tools that will help you become the best trader you can be. That is Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. Make sure you check them out. Go to thebubbashow.org and hit that link, Thinkorswim. They are absolutely the best. Thinkorswim.
Traders, tired of all the mind-boggling strategies that everybody tells you that are going to work? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Our new sponsor, Novera.com, has come up with an indicator that ties all of the other indicators together into their own secret sauce using their own mathematical calculations that give you the best odds and probabilities to find that successful trade you've been looking for. So no more do you have to research and work and look and find. Right now, Novera has their own score system that gives you an idea of when the best trade setup is going to be there. And I got to tell you something. The Badger and I went through a private webinar yesterday, and we are so excited about using this. We can't wait for the markets to open and get ourselves downloaded. Make sure you go check out. That's KNOWVERA.com/Bubba. That's KNOWVERA.com/Bubba. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with my man Jim Iorio from TGM Securities and a frequent, daily, whatever, always on, CNBC contributor. Does a great job, has a great opinion of the markets. What's going on, Jim?
Well, this is interesting. Remember, okay, the Fed told us that they were going to be data dependent, right? So yesterday we had a crummy retail sales number, and today we have even a worse PPI number, which... there's some ways people are explaining it and trying to spin it, but at the end of the day, there's no inflation. There might even be the opposite. So the Fed is caught in this interesting thing where they've led us to believe they wanted to tighten in June, but now they have to be concerned with the strength of dollars. As a matter of fact, 3 weeks ago they mentioned concern with dollar strength and the big exporting companies. They have to be concerned with how heavy the stock market's trading. Two out of 3 days the S&P was down 30. A couple other days it closed poorly. But the stock market is working through something on the negative side. So the big million-dollar question, and hopefully you have the answer to it, is are they going to tighten in June? I know what my answer is going to be. I say they're not.
If they tighten in June, they need to go back and see a doctor. Because they should have tightened 2 years ago.
No doubt.
And they didn't. So
well,
now
it's so funny that you and I share the same opinion, because we think that long-term low-rate policy is awful. However, you can't just jump out of it at the wrong time. Time is everything. They put themselves in a corner, and now they have to find the most graceful exit, right?
They can't, because, you know, there's one problem when you deal in academia and you try to solve every problem out of a book. You end up in the crapper, and that's where they are right now, because they have not done a good job at managing this economy. They spent too much time trying to day trade the stock market and worried about all the investors. Well, truth, that's my opinion, okay?
There's no doubt about it. Yeah, they've mentioned before, Chairman Bernanke, not Yellen, mentioned, you know, put like asset prices going up. He mentioned, I think, the Russell. And it was almost like he was mentioning it as a feather in his cap. See, we're doing good. Stock prices are going higher. They should never have been concerned with stock prices. And when they are, that's what emboldened investors. And one of the reasons we were in this, you know, blatant try to find risk environment across the world.
And this is when you see, this is my issue. And let me get your opinion. This is why I've been against the Fed. Now, if you go back to the beginning, people make a case that you should have done something, you shouldn't have done something as far as bailing out the banks. Now, of course, I don't think the big banks really didn't need help, because when it came out, they didn't really need the money, and they let Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns go bust anyways. But my question to you is simply this, okay? They've manipulated the market. They ran, I'm not even going to say what I usually say, because I don't want to put you in that spot, but they ran a game that now is coming back to haunt them with the unintended consequences, because their ability to lower rates and to try to keep them down and try to inflate asset prices, which they did, except it didn't help 90% of the people, has now caused a spiral across the globe, which if they raise now, our dollar will go through the roof, which will put us immediately in deflation.
No doubt. It'll put us in immediate deflation. It will also, because it's rallied to uncomfortable levels already, so it'll exacerbate the situation. I suppose it's rallied to uncomfortable levels because of the anticipation of us possibly hiking when the rest of the world is easing. But, yeah, it's so they're in a difficult spot right now. I wouldn't tighten if I was them right now. I'm not sure what I would do, because they've painted themselves into somewhat of an impossible corner. Probably start with suspending reinvestment, so not buying anything else out the curve, and trying to slowly let rates normalize before you start hiking on the short end. But again, how are rates on the long end going to normalize if France's 10-year went from 0.69 to 0.49 in the last like week and a half? So if Europe is out there buying everything that has any yield on it, some that have a negative yield, why wouldn't people be buying our 10-year? And why? I mean, our rates are probably going to go lower from here, long end anyway.
Our mutual friend thinks the 10-year is going to 1.5. And you know what? I think he's right, because we have done, in my opinion, they've done a horrible job at managing it. And I've said this all along, so this is not new. And you and I talked about this last time. You said that your restaurant was doing better and you were getting more people in. And I go, okay, good. But I don't see an increase in spending from the average guy, okay? I don't see money flowing in to other areas, and I certainly don't see good retail stuff going on, and I don't care where all prices are.
Me neither. Now, supposedly, some of the economists I speak to on a regular basis talk about the lagging effect of gas prices and energy prices going down, and that 6 to 8 months after they, start to go to a really attractive level is when consumer confidence begins to pick up. God, I hope that's going to happen soon. But I think the restaurants, and it's not just me, but restaurants across the country, I think, are doing pretty well, because I do think that's one of the first things that benefits from people having a few extra dollars in their pocket, is to treat themselves to simple luxuries of going out to dinner.
Yeah, and I don't agree. Look, I don't disagree. I think that restaurants have probably been more crowded, but I also don't think that, I don't think you're going to see a lot more spending, and I think people are very concerned. And, I saw a stat the other day, and I don't know if you follow this at all, but the Jolt report, when Perez came out and reported on, jobs, and that jobs were much better, and I go, who is he talking to? I don't see jobs as much better. Do you?
No. And I think that, the wage growth we're talking about, again, everything is a barbell that's going on. The wealthy and the people in supervisory roles are doing okay and doing better, but the majority of the people in this country, based on almost every statistic I look at, are not doing as well. And that's another one of the cousins of inorganic low-rate policy. The wealthy do very, very well. Asset prices go up, but people, regular people, are not participating, and their wage growth isn't going up, and their assets are not going up because they don't have assets. And I think that that's an enormous problem. I think that it puts us in a spot where, you know, morality is even called into question of having this ridiculously low rate policy for so many years.
So what's next now? I mean, Jim, okay. You've been around for a long time.
Here's what I believe when it comes to markets. I think that U.S. stock market is probably fine in the medium and long term, just based on the fact that there's nothing else to buy. However, in the short term, it does seem like it has something to work through. I think the S&P's, I got about another 40 handle down move is my objective to like the 2000 level in the June S&P's, in which case I probably will buy some. I got long volatility and somewhat short the market when the VIX was trading about 13-ish, I think it was a week or so ago. So I'm making money on that. I plan on starting to cover some around 2000. I think the long end, I don't, 150 in the 10-year, I want to shoot myself if that's going to be the case because I want some volatility. So I was hoping for 180, but I do think it's going under, it's going to be comfortably under 2% just because of the yield grab. I think some of the sectors that are going to do well, and yesterday I increased my exposure to healthcare, to Bristol-Myers Squibb, just because I think people are going to go after yield, but they kind of want to convince themselves that they're going after something more than that too, you know, with healthcare, with potential for growth. Like if, what I mean is to differentiate from just utilities, which would just be a total, you know, yield grab in itself.
So, yeah, no, I follow 100%. So now, you know, I always have a problem with the chase for yield. You know, if you're 65 and you've got your core money, you've got your base, your principal, and you don't want to really cut into the principal, and you buy a yielding stock, and let's say it's got a 3% yield, 4% yield, whatever it is, okay, but the stock goes down 20%, which is possible, then that 5% yield is not very good, is it?
No, this is the immoral part of this whole thing, particularly when you get to the retirees who used to count on a U.S. Treasury rate that they could feel good about. Now they got to step out the risk spectrum into things that they were not comfortable with. This is how and why it always ends disastrously, because it's always the people who can stand to lose at the least, who get in at the end, because remember, they were risk averse this whole time. They did not want to step into healthcare stocks. They wanted to keep it in you know, safe yield-bearing instruments. And then at the end, they're like, screw it, I have to get yield. And that's when they flock to things that are more risky than they should be in, and then the ship hits the rocks. And that's, we've seen it play out, you and I, in dramatic fashion. And I think that we will again. The question is just going to be when. You know, give it a 3-year time horizon, probably.
Right, exactly. And look, bottom line is you and I both know the stock market 10 years from now, whatever it will be most likely higher than it is today. We both know that. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is in the short term here, when you're looking at it, there should be and there probably will be some nastiness coming along here fairly quickly. And then we'll see how it plays out. And, you know, just be careful with what you do and don't overexpose yourself to the markets, and don't think, you know, one of these dips is not going to come back. Would you agree?
I agree, and there's no question that I agree with that. I think this is one of the dips that will come back, but I think that being in the situation where are we going to tighten or are we not going to tighten, the uncertainty scares the stock market a little bit. Plus, the stock market's freaking tripled in 6 years, so to have a nice normal correction is perfectly fine to me. I think that one thing that investors should do is if you start out and you have, you know, let's say $10,000 investment money, you put half in stocks and half in bonds, and the stock market triples, well, then you're being silly if you don't rebalance to what your original risk parameters were. Don't let the Fed change the risk that you can bear.
All right, I got to cut you off. This is the master, Jim Iorio, CNBC contributor, Vice President TJM Securities, The Bubba Show. We'll be back right after the break.
The scars on my knuckles match your scuffs on these cowboy boots. And there's a whole lot more like...
Traders, Bubba here. You know, as I go back and look back at my 35 years of being involved in the market, you know, I'm always continuing to learn and educate myself for better ways to learn how to understand how to trade the markets. And as we approached record high after record high in the markets here, and as we continue to see the free money flow in and the wealthy continue to benefit, I thought it was time that, you know, we talked to everybody, all of our listeners, about education. Now, we do offer educational programs at BubbaTrading.com, as well as through the BubbaShow.org. And what I want to make everybody aware of is that if you would like to have the opportunity to learn more about the markets, We have many different facets in which we can teach you. We have from webinars, from newsletters, to all the way to one-on-one coaching. And what I want you to do, if you're interested in learning how to become better, a better trader, and learning how to protect your portfolio, what I want you to do is I want you to go ahead and email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org, because we're talking about all kinds of ways that you can learn to protect your portfolio, whether you want to become a short-term trader or just protect your long-term investments. But I can tell you for with certainty that we will teach you the technical views of the market. We will teach you what makes the market tick. We'll teach you what makes the market go up and down and how to best protect yourself. And wouldn't it be great to protect that long-term portfolio with some unique option strategies that really have no risk to you and can put on some free insurance? And when is the last time you got free insurance? That's something that we offer here at The Bubba Show, thebubbashow.org. There is a fee associated with it, but please email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org, and we'll give you all the details of how to become a better trader or investor. That's bubba@thebubbashow.org. Bubba Show listeners, Bubba here. You know, in investing, you have to be prepared for everything that can possibly happen, and you have to have a pretty well-diversified portfolio. Which brings me to my friends at the Capital Trading Group in Chicago. You know, Nell Sloan over there at the Capital Trading Group, they understand that we as investors have to be prepared for any type of market conditions and any type of change. And what they do over there is they analyze different types of alternative investments that they can help show you and share with you ideas of what you may want to invest in. They've had pretty good success. Now, you know, past results are not guarantees for the future, but certainly the Capital Trading Group is a great place to start for your alternative investment needs. All you have to do is reach out and call my friend Nell Sloan at 888-341-1819, or go to capitaltradinggroup.com/Bubba. That's Nell Sloan at capitaltradinggroup.com. Sports fans, Bubba here. Are you a sports investor? Do you like playing around in either in the fantasy world or in the actual part of investing in sports? Well, let me tell you something. If you're not tuning in to the Sporting Edge every Saturday and Sunday morning at 10 a.m., you are missing the best read on the markets or the best read on sports. The Badger and I sit down and break down all of the investment opportunities that we look for throughout the week using purely odds and probabilities and mathematical speculation to help you break down the markets, as we like to say, or break down the sports. As you can see from our track record, we've shown many, many people how to become much better sports investors and give themselves that best opportunity to succeed. Not only that, but you got to check out the website, thesportingedge.net. We've got all the news. We've got all the stuff. Plus, we share with you each and every week our selections as well as fantasy. Check out thesportingedge.net with Bubba and Badger. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you today. And, you know, we had Jim Iorio just now, and, you know, he's really smart guy, good guy, great guy. And, you know, I respect his opinion. And, you know, as I look through and I get to do, obviously I get to do a lot of media, and a lot of them I really get to speak my piece as very much as I get to do here on the radio. And, you know, I tell you, I just get so frustrated with what I see is going on, and I get more frustrated with the so-called financial experts that it actually makes me want to puke. You know, I hear so much stuff, and we see so many flaws in our system. Listen, I'm not complaining. I mean, America is great. It's there is no place like it. Okay, and even in when you have the worst president of all time involved, and even when you have things that I don't agree with, at the end of the day, there is nothing like it. But, you know, there are things that are happening, and I always like to share a lot of the media that I do with you, because I get to really, you know, speak my mind, and a lot of times they call me angry, and I am sometimes angry, and I'm angry about the whole mess that we've created. But, of course, there's nothing that angers me more right now than the Federal Reserve and what they're doing. And I want to share with you on Tuesday I do my usual BNN in Canada, and I want to share with you what I told them before the announcement and what I'm thinking, because I think you'll find it interesting. This is me on BNN on Tuesday.
Markets continue to stay where they are. My next guest says that he'll put in bigger short positions tomorrow. Let's find out what that means when we speak with the chief strategist at BubbaTrading.com. Todd Horwitz is standing by in Chicago. Todd, good to have you with us.
Hi, Michael.
What are the chances that we're going to get a repeat of today's trading session tomorrow, considering the FOMC will wrap up that two-day meeting?
You know, the trading action has been really, really strange and halted. Over the last couple of weeks, we've seen an overnight move, and then the market just kind of stops. Now, today, you had a little bit of selling overnight, and then we tried to rally. Now, a lot of those Dow points that got taken out were actually sold off last night. So we don't see it till the next day, but the future sold off pretty good after the close. But what we're looking at here now is the market is saying to me that the Fed is not going to raise rates. The Fed is not going to take caution out of their statement or patience out of their statement. And they're going to keep the status quo. Because what we're seeing here is, if you watch the 10-year notes, we've gone from 225 on jobs Friday, when they first thought, oh, great, we had great jobs numbers. And then they realized maybe they're not so good, or maybe they're going to take the punch bowl away. So now today we're at 206, down 19 basis points. Now, is that bullish? You know, look, they're buying up bonds. They're pushing the yields lower once again, telling me that they don't believe that Janet Yellen and her group of countrymen there are going to actually raise rates or even indicate a potential interest rate rise. And the market seems to be playing that as well, which is why I say that I'd like to sell into this market, because I don't care what they say tomorrow. Market expectation is telling us that the street does not expect them to do anything. So if they do nothing, then we've already priced it in my opinion. If they do something, I think we get a pretty good crack, and I think you see a fairly substantial sell-off after they're done. And I think that's what we're seeing, and it's been really strange, and the street has really misjudged and misguessed what the Fed is going to do about the last five or six meetings. So I think they're wrong once again here, but we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Well, it seems like Janet Yellen at the Fed is, it's a case for her of you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If she removes the patience component to her statement, meaning that they're no longer going to be patient about the outlook for interest rate increases, that would suggest that things are improving at a better than expected rate. Therefore, that actually means the cheap money ride comes to an end sooner. But if she removes it, that scares us into thinking that things aren't as good as we thought they were.
Well, I can say this, okay? From my perspective, things have gotten no better. From my perspective, they're living on Fantasy Island. I mean, again, I've said this before. I don't think they know what they're doing. I think they've lost control. I think they've lost touch of what reality is and how to run a real business. So they had a chance to raise rates, you know, a year ago. In fact, Bernanke tried to do it in 2013 in May, and the markets had a conniption fit, so they decided, well, we better not raise rates because the markets are going to go down. Well, who cares about the markets? We're about the seventh largest equity thing in the world. I mean, you've got real estate, fixed income, energy. Everything's bigger than the equity markets, but yet we're so concerned on whether the market goes up or down day to day. And when was it put in the Fed's mandate that they should care about what the actual stock market does? We're at all-time record highs. Now, the problem with now and waiting this long is the rest of the world economies have caught up. Global dollars are having a currency war. Everybody wants a race to the bottom. And the problem is our rates de facto have gone higher without doing anything. So everybody's still pouring money into the United States, trying to capture whatever yield they can get, buying U.S. equities. And, of course, we're going to go back there and buy from take over their stuff now. So we'll see what happens.
Well, how are you making any money these days, Todd? You look at the VIX. You guys play off volatility. The VIX has been at not historic lows, but it's been pretty low as of late. What are you doing all day, playing Nintendo?
Well, you know, pretty much, you know, you're back in my age group, yes, Nintendo. But, you know, the VIX is terrible, and the 20-year moving average in the VIX is over 20, okay? We're right around 15, and people get excited. And you could have seen the last couple of days' action. When we had a big sell-off on Friday, you saw the VIX didn't do anything, okay? So the VIX is also saying that it's very extremely complacent here, and it's extremely challenging. For me as a trader, it's the worst kind of market you could possibly ask for. Fortunately, the oil markets are extremely volatile, so we just move from one pit to another and go trade oil.
All right, well, we'll let you get back to Mario Brothers there, Todd. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Some Donkey Kong. Have a great day.
Yeah, Todd Horwitz, chief strategist at BubbaTrading.com in Chicago.
So as we were playing Donkey Kong and Nintendo with Michael Hainsworth, but did you get the gist of what I'm feeling? I mean, you know, I feel your pain. I feel my own pain. You know, and I get extremely annoyed with, you know, the things that we see. And you continue to hear everybody say, yeah, we've got great growth. Everything is wonderful. And I go, and I want to know where. I want one person to tell me where things are great. Maybe if you're dealing, you know, crack somewhere, things are great. Okay. But, you know, for the average guy, the average gal, the citizen that's trying to take care of their family, this has been probably one of the dark periods in growth, in true growth. And again, people will make cases and they'll tell me, you know, oh, well, this, this, and that. And I go, okay, great. Okay. I see a lot of trouble lurking out there. I think monetary policy has become totally a joke. I think that the way that we react, the way that our government reacts to what's going on, I think is really sad. And what makes me even more sad is the way that we continue to try to hide from trouble. And I look at it and I say, you know, it's like when I was a kid, you know, I broke somebody's window. You know, I did something that bad. So I went and hid and hoped nobody would find out. And that's what I think. And that's what I see here in the Federal Reserve. And again, I don't say that they're bad people. I just say that they don't have a clue. And that bothers me. You know, it bothers me that we run the country not even like a bad company. I mean, you run it like, you know, a nickel and dime store that, you know, okay, well, if I don't make money, it's okay. And, you know, there's so many opportunities. And this administration, as others in the past, again, I don't want to just pick on one, but we don't seem to get the point. And more than that, we don't seem to learn from our mistakes. You know, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has issues. You know, whatever you do in life, you make mistakes. I mean, nobody is perfect, and I get that. And again, I'm not looking for perfection. But what I would like is I would like to learn from our mistakes. And, you know, we're back in this ridiculous debt ceiling talk again. Who gives a crap? We know that they're going to come out, they're going to raise the debt ceiling. Are we going to really go through this battle once again with the dopes that are on the Hill? I mean, is this really going to be another part? Now, the first thing is we shouldn't have the debt that we have. That's number one. Okay. There's ways to adjust this. And I don't know what we're waiting for. I don't know what they think that they're trying to see. And that's where a lot of the problems initiate. You know, I complain about the banks. I complain about the Fed, but the problems start in the beginning. The problems start with the people that regulate. And there is so many problems out there. And I'm watching it. I'm witnessing some of them in some of the businesses, even in a company like Walgreens, okay, where things are going on that are going to have a major effect on all of us in some way or another because of the way that our company runs and how they dodge bob and weave and stay away from making the tough decision. And I want to see the tough decision made because that's what I think. And I think that one of the tough decisions we all have to make is who do we want to trade with? And I'm telling you here that Thinkorswim is the place you want to be with because they are built by traders for traders. It is the best platform that you can possibly get for trading. Bubba can get you a deal there. Just email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. And keep an eye out. The newsletter is coming. I'm excited. It's going to be great. I can't wait. But in the meantime, it's time for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
I've been feeling real good. Came a long way from misunderstood. Far away from the days where I wouldn't want to go home because I was afraid of the truth. See, I was scared to admit the feeling was in the back of my head. Because the boy would lie no longer words, so you have to stand up for how you want to
live. Are you thinking about trying the options market? Well, I think Bubba says you should check out binary options through Nadex. That's NADEX.com. Give you a limited risk, limited reward model that puts you in a position where all you have to do is basically answer a yes or no question. Set up your own expiration time from 2 hours to 1 week. Put yourself in a position to trade at a low cost and let you capitalize in all types of market, whether it be slow, busy, whipsoy. All you have to do is pick the expiration, pick the strikes, set yourself up, and you're ready to rock and roll. And that's through Nadex.com. You can start with a small amount of money, large amount of money, whatever suits your portfolio best. I urge you to go check out Nadex.com. That's Nadex.com.
Option traders, are you tired of the runaround? Are you tired around about the false promises that so many out there make to you? Are you tired of getting those unrealistic returns? Well, I'm telling you right now, if you tune in, me and the Badger, every Sunday night at 6:45 Eastern Time, we're going to talk to you straight. We're going to tell you how the option market works, how to now take advantage of the weekly options, how to best become the best trader that you can. And instead of making false promises, we're going to tell it to you straight, just like we do here on The Bubba Show. There's going to be winners and losers, but overall, we're going to teach you how to grind out the market, whether or not you want to work on your long-term portfolio and create your own dividend product, or you want to be a little more active and create some more action in your own portfolio. We're going to teach you all the strategies that are going to help you be more successful. Make sure you email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get hooked up for my Sunday night webinar each and every Sunday. We do it right. Hey, sports fans, you got to check out the Sporting Edge here on the Liberty Express Radio Network. Every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 Eastern Time, the Badger and me break down the sports. We break down the matchups. We tell you who we think is going to win. We give you the reasons why. We also cover office pool stuff. We cover the news. We cover fantasy football as Xander comes in and does a fantasy football segment each and every week. You're tired of looking at the losers? You're tired of not understanding how to invest in the sports world? We teach you the investing of sports and how to turn the tables on everybody else and put the markets in your favor. It's the Sporting Edge here on the Liberty Express Radio Network every Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 11 Eastern Time. We break down the metrics. We give you who we think are the winners are going to be, and we certainly know how to hit a pretty good percentage. We're here to teach you and help you better understand the business of sports, the Sporting Edge. Check out thesportingedge.net. Okay, welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and as we visited earlier, we visited Canada. So let's take a ride to New York, and here's me in the opening segment on Maria Bartiromo, the opening bell on Fox Business. Check this out. I think you'll enjoy it, and you'll see me worked up again. My blood pressure was rising. Here's me with Maria.
Gains at the open. We're expecting about a 100-point rally. Investors gearing up for a busy week, particularly the meeting from the Federal Reserve and that decision on Wednesday. Let me bring in Todd Horowitz right here, Average Joe Options Chief Strategist, along with Gina Martin Adams. She is the Equity Strategist at Wells Fargo. Good to see you both.
Good to see you.
Thank you so much for joining us. So the Fed meeting, probably the biggest event of the week. What are you expecting, Gina?
We think they're going to drop the word patience, which is what everyone's looking for, and stay on track for their first hike in June.
So you think they raise rates in June, even though it's been sort of an uneven recovery?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that there's a lot of sort of folks at the Fed that really just want to start the process of normalization. And the economy is not weak enough to justify this extraordinary policy anymore. So they're going to start the process. We think they'll start it in June and take it very slow.
You agree with that, Todd?
No. I think they can raise them, and they may. But in my opinion, it would be a dramatic mistake for them to raise rates here. Now, they missed their opportunity 2 years ago when they had an opportunity to raise when the economy was going on. The economy is not strong. The jobs number we just saw was not good. Wage growth isn't there. The U6, 11% unemployment. We can't have a handler right here. If this dollar gets too much stronger, the United States goes immediately into deflation. We can already see what's going on with crude oil. We're not getting manufacturing, velocity of money. Nothing is happening that's benefiting anybody other than the wealthy. And without the middle class, we are not going to see growth until the average guy can make money again, come into business, because we've gone from free market to manipulation. Every economy around the world, every central bank around the world is manipulating your own economy as we race to the bottom in the currencies. And of course, Bernanke was first to try that with the U.S. dollar. And now we've lost that battle because now the dollar is so strong. We're raising rates here because we're already de facto much higher than everybody else, and all the money is still flowing in. We're going to see rates drop, and we're going to see a market that's going to, dollar's going to storm higher, and I think it puts us into a real, real bad situation.
So even if they remove patience, you don't think that means anything? You don't think they're going to raise rates?
I don't think they should. They could. I think they might make the mistake because they have not been very good at making a good decision at the right time. If you look at the overall markets, when you become a person that wants to control equity markets, which is the smaller markets of the fixed income and all the other markets around the world, and you try to manipulate those markets, you're looking for real trouble when you have to come out of this manipulating period.
Does the strong dollar, Gina, change things in any way? I mean, Todd makes a great point. The dollar has been a real negative for earnings. Mm-hmm. A lot of analysts now taking their estimates down because the dollar is just cutting into multinational profitability. 40% of profits in the S&P 500 coming from abroad. How does that complicate the Fed's decision?
It makes it more difficult. I mean, it makes it more difficult not only because the dollar is rising at a very rapid pace now, but it's been rising for 3 years. So incrementally, the dollar gains have been taking away from earnings for 3 years. Over the last 9 months, they've taken a significant share away, mostly because it's coincided with a significant drop in oil prices. So I think that what we forget oftentimes is there are a lot of different factors that impact earnings. The dollar can rise over time as long as global growth is accelerating and oil prices are stable. S&P earnings are not in trouble. But because the dollar is rising so rapidly, oil prices have plummeted and are now plumbing new lows again, and you've got this pretty dicey global growth situation, it does create some difficulties for American companies. You know, my view is currencies tend to precede interest rate increases. We saw that on the opposite side with what happened in Japan at Halloween when the Japanese expanded quantitative easing. The yen basically stopped falling versus the dollar. We saw that to some extent in January. The ECB move in January was preceded by a significant drop in the euro. Right now, we're seeing the dollar anticipate faster Fed increases than the market is expecting. And that's why we're seeing, in my mind, the dollar move as rapidly as it is. We've got to get past these hurdles and all of this concern about what it means for the Fed to increase interest rates a mere 25 basis points, slow down all of the concern around the dollar before we can really find our stable period on the index. All right. We think this first half is going to be pretty tough as a result.
Well, it's going to be tough because, I mean, earnings are going to be negative for at least two quarters. That's what S&P Capital is saying, that we're going to see earnings growth go negative. We're already seeing the estimates come down, and that's largely because of the dollar, but also because you're seeing slowdown around the world.
Yeah.
So you go back to Todd's point. Right. I mean, how are we going to see rates go higher when you don't even have an economy running on all cylinders? Now the earnings part of the economy, which is one of the strongest parts of this recovery, corporate earnings, are actually taking a hit.
Because the Fed's playing catch-up. I mean, the reality is 15%, maximum 15% of our economic growth.
Why doesn't the Fed step away and let's go back to free markets?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what they're trying to do.
But they're not trying to.
They're too late.
It reminds me of Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. They're going to click their ruby slippers and take them, go back home. I mean, we're not letting the markets free float. We're not letting it.
Doesn't that begin the process?
Well, I think at some point, but the argument is that they should have been doing this a long time ago, that they held in way too long. The bond markets got it wrong. The Fed has never been right with their overall process going back in history. I mean, we see that when you try to day trade the stock market as a Fed, okay, you cannot be successful. They were more worried about what happened in the stock market every day, because we saw this in 2013 when Ben Bernanke came out in May and said, I think we might have to raise rates here. And the market immediately collapsed. And what happened? 2 days later, all the henchmen came out, all the different governors. Oh, no, we're not going to raise rates. Right. We're going to sit here and let the market go.
So you both agree that the economy is uneven. The recovery is uneven.
It stinks.
And you say it stinks.
Yes.
You say it's improving.
I don't think it's that bad.
Right.
I really don't think it stinks. I think we're dealing right now with the aftermath of an incredible decline in oil prices and rise in the dollar.
And where is it good, though?
Where would you say,
policy?
Other than the rich?
Because very slowly we're gathering momentum.
Where?
And whether or not.
I'd like to. I mean,
you talked yourself about the U6 coming down to 11. It was 16
down.
Jobs definitely have shot.
But what kind of jobs are we getting? $8.50 an hour jobs?
That's very, very typical in the earliest stages of an economic recovery.
Okay.
And yes, this has been an extended early stage economic recovery, partially because of monetary policy. But it's not atypical for job growth to start in the lower paying jobs and start to move on. Is it going to move on right now? No, it's not.
Who's going to hire?
So we're going to be bumping along the bottom. We're going to be bumping along the bottom for a little while. That means the Federal Reserve cannot get into a string of interest rate increases.
They can't go quickly. They absolutely cannot go quickly.
So that's true. That's where you agree.
Yeah.
Who's going to hire? When we see Schlumberger laying off 9,400 employees, when we see every major company, so when I lose one Schlumberger job, that equals about 10 of the new jobs that get created.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So who's going to hire? Companies have not built their companies. They've bought back stock to reduce, and they're telling their employees, look, you're working here.
Yeah.
You want to work harder because we're not adding any more staff.
The CapEx is a tough story. So I want to get into that with you. And meanwhile, Germany's DAX index at multi-year highs. Do you want to choose Europe for investing? Stay with us. Answers to that question next. Gina.
So what did you think of that? And those are the things. Things like that are the things that get my goat. Okay. Not my GTO that I used to drive when I was a kid, but these are the things that really get underneath my skin. When you have people taking care of your money that tell you what is going on and we're waiting for the new normal. What is the new normal? Can somebody out there please tell me what is the new normal? Okay. Or what is normal? Now, you know, interest rates have to normalize. Says who? You know, we've been in for 16 years. We have been in a not normal situation. We went from the tech bubble to the real estate bubble, okay, pretty quickly, back and forth. So what is normal? Okay, what is the Fed? What should the Fed be doing? Okay, virtually, I'd like to see them, you know, take care of business, but of course, that's been a constant bitch here on the Bubba Show because, in my mind, their policies suck. And in my mind, they have no clue. And I would have no problem saying it right to their face that you guys are lost. You have no idea of how to run a business. You have no idea how to deal with adversity. And you think the cure is always the same thing. You know, like a parent, your kid goes into a tantrum, buy him a gift. Your kid does this, buy him a gift. Buy the love instead of taking the tough love. And I can tell you from experience, my personal opinion, it's the tough love that makes us stronger and better. But for today, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. As always, I appreciate everybody here. And I love to get the comments. You guys are great at sending in information. And we are very excited to launch the new newsletter, which will be launching on Monday. And I hope you become a part of it. It's going to be $99 a year for you'll get the opinions of the top traders in the country giving you good information and good ideas. But for now, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. Everybody have a great day. Enjoy the NCAAs. They're here. They're back. And it's going to be fun. March Madness and, of course, Bubba Madness. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Good night, everybody.
That tonight's going to be a good, good night. I feel it. That tonight's going to be.